sure as God made green apples, someday the Chicago Cubs are going to be in a World Series. And maybe sooner than we think.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play.
What's going on, Cubs fans? You're listening to Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. I am one of your hosts, Sean Sears. Joining me, of course, is Ryan Davis on today's show. Ryan, what's going on, man?
Not a whole lot. Just doing the usual thing, talking about the Cubs and spring training. Things are going well, and we have some good stuff going on.
Yeah, definitely. We're jumping on today's show to kind of give you guys a little bit of a taste of the Talking Cubs YouTube channel we've talked a little bit about. Obviously, it's similar to what we do here on Locked On Cubs, just a little more deep dive into more specific topics as we've been doing. So recently, we've been doing a lot of more of these player previews, and we've gotten pretty much the whole team for the most part. We've got two guys we wanted to share for you today, but I'm going to let Ryan kind of talk a little about our channel and, you know, why you guys should maybe check out.
Yeah, so if you're looking for us, you can find us on YouTube. The channel is just Talking Cubs. And if you search for that channel, you'll see, you know, a logo that looks probably pretty familiar. It's blue and red, and it says Talking Cubs and has like a little word bubble behind it. Very nice logo done by Randall Sanders, if you're familiar with him on Twitter. And then you can also find us on Twitter at Talking Cubs Show. We're there and we tweet all of our stuff. So if you're interested in and you like the show that we do here on Locked On Cubs, I think it's similar but different in the way that it allows us a little freedom in what we're doing. We shorten things up a bit, and it's very concise, like one topic kind of thing. So here, where we might talk about three or four topics over the course of a three-segment podcast that might go 30 or 40 minutes, on Talking Cubs, it's more like, you know, 8 or 9 minutes on Kyle Hendricks, or 8 or 9 minutes on Pedro Strop injuring his hamstring, which he did. So it's more concise, and you get the video with it, which I think allows some creative freedom. We get to throw in little short clips when MLB's not slapping us with copyright infringements, and we get to throw in,
which they love to
do. And we get to throw in graphics. So there's some cool things that we can do with it. We're still getting better at it too, but at least where we are with it now, I'm pretty proud of where we've, you know, where we started and where we've come to. And we've got these questions from people who have watched the videos and said, is this going to be available as a podcast as well? And I get that. Like, I sympathize with that idea, because a lot of people consume this stuff by listening to it at work, you know, on their podcast app with their headphones in, or, you know, whatever it is, or on their computer. So like, I get that, like, a YouTube video doesn't work that way for those people. So I can't promise it'll always be like this, but the idea we kind of had was, you know, we were going to take a couple of our player previews and just put them in here as our second and third segments, just the audio. You'll miss the clips, you'll miss the funny faces I make, but other than that,
which are worth coming to YouTube.
Come check it out. You come see the stuff that I have on the wall behind me, but and my smiling, shining face. But other than that, I feel like you're getting, you know, a decent preview of what we're doing by listening to these clips.
Definitely. So on today's show, we've got first it'll be Anthony Rizzo, and then we finish the show with Kyle Hendricks. They were two of our favorite previews Ryan and I did so far. Like I said, we're releasing one once a day for like the next week or so until spring training starts. We've got enough to do so. So if we run out of time, I might release multiples on one day, so you might get a couple in one day. But obviously, the hope is that we're going to give you guys a preview each day upcoming to spring training, and then from there, we'll kind of take things as we go. There will also be other things, obviously, outside the player previews as well. Like Ryan mentioned, we did just do a quick video on Pedro Strop and the impact of his hamstring injury and what it could mean to the bullpen. So that'll be going up relatively soon, so you can check that out. But there's plenty of things we can do more of and kind of point to certain things and kind of use the video to work with us, as well as clip in a few office jokes here and there. So, I mean, you know, there's it's going to be a more laid back but focused, I would say, podcast.
Yeah, no, whereas this is more conversational. I feel like the video the YouTube channel is more focused. It'll be concise. It's more of a production, whereas this is more of a conversation.
So with all that, we're going to kick it on over to our Anthony Rizzo preview that we did, as well as following the Kyle Hendricks preview. So if you're not, make sure you subscribe to Locked On Cubs. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Cubs. You can follow Talking Cubs at Talking Cubs Show, and as well subscribe to the YouTube channel. You can find the podcast pretty much everywhere if you haven't done that yet. If you can't figure it out, ask your smartphone or your smart car to find your podcast by saying podcast Locked On Cubs. It should bring you right to us. So with that, here is us talking about Anthony Rizzo.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Talking Cubs. I'm your host Ryan Davis, and today I'll be joined by my co-host Sean Sears in just a moment. We're going to be talking about a Cubs first baseman in our player previews. It's really the Cubs first baseman, Sean, Anthony Rizzo. What do you expect from him this year? Another year of greatness?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, he's the greatest leadoff hitter of all time, right? Is that what we've officially deemed him as?
I think so. I mean, who knows if he's actually going to lead off this year. I kind of hope he doesn't, just because that means the Cubs have probably found somebody.
Yeah, that's how I would hope for too. I mean, Rizzo has been nothing but probably the most consistent Cub they've had in a really long time. Obviously, he had a slow start to 2018, but really picked it up after, I think it was like a slow April or May. From there, just kind of started becoming that player that we can expect from him, close to 30 home runs, close to 100 RBI. Guy that just consistently pushes this offense through. I mean, at this point, you'd expect probably another season close to that, 30 home runs, 90 plus RBI. He plays an excellent defense. He just kind of brings everything he can to the baseball field. And obviously, he's the team leader for the Cubs. So, I mean, he's going to have a big role this year, particularly just, you know, obviously what he needs to produce on the field, as well as kind of the tumultuous locker room that they've somewhat had. Maybe not tumultuous is the right word, but it's been definitely a difficult offseason, so I think it'll be important to see Rizzo's kind of role as more than just being a baseball player. We already saw him on Instagram taking pictures of everyone on the team and making sure they have awkward selfie pictures of everyone. It's stuff like that that kind of breaks the ice and makes things obviously a little more, you know, easygoing and easier to focus on baseball. So I feel like that role for Rizzo this year is probably more crucial than it's been ever.
Yeah, and you kind of hit on it there. Last season, his numbers, if you just look at the overall season numbers, are down a little bit from what you kind of expect for him. But the context is important. He had his back injury in April, which is actually becoming a yearly thing. It required a DL stint. He had a terrible month of April. But from May 1st to the end of the season, so essentially just cutting out that first month of the season, he hit .303 with a .393 on base, a .512 slugging, 24 home runs, 92 RBI. So basically, he was the Anthony Rizzo that you know from May 1st through the end of the year.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you can't say enough about what Rizzo brings to this team in terms of offensive as well as just like who he is. But what he's bringing every year, it's huge. He's literally, I mean, he can just get a hit in any moment. Have two strikes. It's tough to find a better batter. Rizzo just gives you consistent, constant offense. Now,
the issue hasn't necessarily been Rizzo these last, I mean, obviously last year and a little bit of 2017 as well. It's been getting guys in front of him on base. And as you kind of hinted at before, if Rizzo's not leading off, obviously good things are probably happening with the offense. And you found someone that can consistently get on base in front of him. You know, these last couple of years, Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo have been consistent, you know, 380 plus on base guys, close to 400. Their OPS is near 900. When those guys are getting on base and doing those things, they're some of the best run producing players in offense, you know, in baseball in general. But when they're not doing those type of things, when they're not getting on base or they're the only ones getting on base, obviously there's an issue. And that was a big part of the first half of the Cubs season last year. We kind of forget about how Bryant and Rizzo, for when they were both hitting at one time, particularly Chris Bryant, he had a great, I think, April and May. People kind of forget about that before he hurt his shoulder. They were doing excellent and getting on base. It was just no one else behind them was stepping up. So the Cubs not only need Anthony Rizzo to be the guy he is, but they need to hope for someone behind him or in front of him to get on base so Rizzo can be as productive as he can be.
You know, I think that's something that everyone kind of forgets about with the down offensive season last year. Everyone kind of focuses on the, you know, the second half scheduling and Bryant's shoulder injury. But, you know, with Rizzo, with his back injury in that bad April, he and Bryant had an overlap of maybe like 3 weeks where they were both really going well in May. And I feel like the Cubs are actually pretty good at that point. So you bring up some really interesting points about with both those guys going well again and healthy at the same time, that could be a huge difference. Rizzo this season, 29 years old. I think he's going to turn 29 in August. Maybe he's already 29 and is going to turn 30 in August. I'm dropping the ball on that. I forget that number, but at least 29 in theory this season. He's been the Cubs' first baseman since coming up in 2012 in the middle of the year. This will be 7.5 seasons for him at first base for the Cubs. I looked it up on FanGraphs. In the modern Cubs era, Rizzo is number 8 in wins above replacement in franchise history. And among players who are primarily first basemen, so not counting Ernie Banks, who played a lot at first base, but earned most of his wins above replacement as a shortstop, he's only behind Mark Grace on that list. So is it fair to say that Rizzo, before he's even turned 30 years old, is already an all-time great in Cubs franchise history?
Yeah, I would think he, in fan lore alone, is already one of the best and most, like, I mean, influential players the Cubs have had play at first base or in general. But yeah, I mean, Mark Grace is a great first baseman. Obviously, there's been some really good first baseman for the Cubs, Derek Lee, you know, there's some options there. But obviously, Anthony Rizzo, I think, has been clear cut, probably the most, I mean, important player the Cubs have had in the last like 15 years, 20 years, potentially. And that's kind of crazy to think that, you know, you've had so many good players come through here. But what Rizzo has done for the Cubs since being called up is just, I mean, the Cubs before, I mean, it's crazy to think now we've got Chris Bryant, we've got Kyle Schwarber, we've got Ian Happs of the world, Abelardo Moros, first round picks that are here. The Cubs hadn't had a prospect pan out for a really long time. And even calling Rizzo a Cub prospect is probably a little bit misguided. Obviously, he was traded for from the Padres, but even still, the Cubs have had a horrible success rate of any type of minor league player coming through. Like Tyler Colvin and Starlin Castro were like at one point, like the big deal for the Cubs. And obviously Castro, great player, Tyler Colvin, didn't work. Yeah, it didn't work out. So, I mean, it's kind of a rarity to see a guy like Rizzo come through, be on this team through just terrible baseball for as long as we can remember, at least, and go through four years, maybe, of just really bad baseball, still be the player he is now. And still, I mean, you can't say enough about Anthony Rizzo. He's just so important to this team to have a guy just come up from where he did, work his way through the system, and get traded to the Cubs just as he's about to come up. I mean, it's worked out great for Chicago. And, I mean, you don't hear anyone talk about Andrew Cashner at this point. So,
no, I feel like you can easily say that the Cubs won that trade now. Although people were still debating it, I think, as recent as like 2014, which is kind of funny to me. But anyway, that's our talk on Anthony Rizzo. We expect big things out of him again this year. He's, like we said, one of the most important players in franchise history. So what do you think? Do you think Rizzo is going to be great again this year? Or are you concerned about the back problem that seems to be an issue for him every year? Chronic back issues don't tend to go away. So let us know what you think down in the comments below. If you like the content like this, if you like our Cubs player previews that we were doing heading into the season, go ahead and go down there and click that subscribe button. Leave a comment. Let us know that you like what we're doing. It really helps us a lot, from, you know, helps us motivate ourselves to get up and do these videos and get it all set up for you guys here on YouTube. So thanks for watching, and we will talk to you again next time. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another segment of Talking Cubs. I'm your host, Ryan Davis. I'll be joined in a minute by my co-host, Sean Sears. We're continuing our player preview segments today, talking about a Cubs player that I think you could accurately say has ice in his veins. So, Sean, is it possible that Kyle Hendricks is going to be even better in 2019 than he has already?
Yeah, I think 2019 could be a really big season for Kyle. As we saw with a lot of the Cubs last year, at least pitching-wise, the first half wasn't necessarily great. I think Kyle finished with an ERA just under 4 for the first half of baseball. Wasn't necessarily a terrible season, but it just seemed like he was struggling to hit his spots. I know there was the talk that Kyle wasn't able to hit 87, 88 miles an hour, which is a concern because he doesn't throw hard at all. But he figured it out in the second half of the season. He ended the year, I think, with a 2.8 ERA, something along the lines of that. Really good second half of baseball. Showed last year that he was, I think, at this point, probably the ace of this staff. I'd be surprised if Kyle Hendricks isn't the opening day starter this year.
Yeah, you know, I would still think that they would go with Lester as kind of a ceremonial thing. But yeah, I think it's been for a while now that Hendricks has been the best starter on the team, at least in my opinion. And, you know, you mentioned last year he had a mechanical issue. I actually was covering some games for NBC Sports Chicago in St. Louis when the Cubs were down there in July. And I went and did a story on Hendricks where I talked to him for a while, and he talked at great length about, you know, what the mechanical problem was and how he had fixed it. He talked about, you know, basically shifting weight to his backside when he pushed off the rubber in his stride, and how that had been kind of off for him. And he said at that time it hadn't been great, but it had been a little bit better in the last couple games. And he said at that time, he's like, no, I've totally figured it out. I'm confident I'm going to be really good going forward. So I went back for this and looked at his stats from that start in St. Louis through the end of the year. And it was 12 games, 79 innings pitched, 66 strikeouts to just 10 walks, and a 2.51 ERA. So clearly he did have it figured out at that point.
Yeah, I mean, like we were saying, Kyle Hendricks seemed to change and be the guy that we were expecting to be after. He was kind of not necessarily looking like himself on the mound. And as you kind of mentioned, that change he makes, I mean, that's Kyle Hendricks for you. He's just the guy that's going to be constantly watching video, trying to figure out what he's doing differently. He's just outthinking batters a lot of times and trying to be smarter than the other guy is on the mound. And while that's awesome, it's great to see Kyle Hendricks go and do that. You just don't see a lot of pitchers do that the way Kyle Hendricks does, because a lot of them do have 97 mile an hour fastballs or changeups or some type of breaking ball that can really throw people off. And Hendricks has one of the best changeups in baseball, but it's paired with an 88, 89, like maybe 90 mile an hour fastball that doesn't do a lot of movement. So what Hendricks has to do is create a lot of deception. And when he can figure that out and work the fastball and the changeup and occasional curveball in, he's one of the best pitchers in baseball, as we've seen throughout the year. So if Kyle can keep locating the bottom half of the strike zone, keep missing bats with his changeup and put the ball on the ground, there should be no problem with Kyle Hendricks reporting another, you know, 250 sub 250 ERA season for the Cubs.
Yeah, and last year, I mean, if you just look at the ERA, it wasn't terrific. It was 3.44 for the season. A lot of that did have to do with the fact that he had that stretch in the middle of the year where he got out of his mechanics. He had a similar stretch in 2017 where he lost velocity. That was related to his release point. Last year, though, a career high 199 innings. He's what I think is becoming known as a FIP beater. In his career, he has a 3.07 ERA with a 3.52 FIP. His FIP the last 2 years has been a bit higher. I noticed in the Pecota projections, they had him for a very low WARP, which is Baseball Prospectus's WAR, essentially. And I saw that Harry Pavlidis, who I think a lot of Cubs fans probably know of, if you're on Cubs Twitter, he was talking about how, I guess, BP is needing to come up with, or is working on coming up with, kind of an adjustment in Pecota to account for guys like Hendricks, because he is such an outlier in the whole system. Wow, I completely messed that up. Let me start over. Because he is kind of an outlier in that whole system.
Yeah, that's a great point. Obviously, projection systems aren't necessarily factoring what Hendricks does really well as positive things. Maybe not necessarily hurting him, but it doesn't rate him as higher as guys like, you know, Carlos Martinez has a really high warp right now for Baseball Perspectives. There's a lot of these guys that throw hard, miss bats, and they really weigh the ability to keep the ball out of the actual field as a high better metric than it would be just putting the ball in play and getting out. So it's interesting to see how a guy like Hendricks can get weighed down, but you think about like the type of like exit velocity, launch angle you can get off Kyle Hendricks from his changeup. Like there's no one squares Kyle Hendricks up. No one hits him hard, you know, as long as he's pitching well. And honestly, that's while an outside the box type of strategy that we don't see a lot of times with some pitchers, and particularly the top pitchers in the game, the guys like Scherzer that can miss bats, can throw hard, that, you know, mow guys down. Kyle Hendricks kind of, in the sense, almost uses people's aggression against them and still converts the same amount of outs. So, I mean, I love Kyle Hendricks. I have a soft spot for Kyle. I know you do too. So
yeah, I do. Yeah. Mostly because I just enjoy watching him pitch. I mean, everyone talks about Kershaw's like appointment viewing as a pitcher. And I love watching Clayton Kershaw throw. But if I have one appointment viewing pitcher in baseball, I would probably say it's Kyle Hendricks, because I love watching him go to work and the way he carves up batters. And then as the baseball side of it, the baseball writer side, he's my absolute probably favorite guy in baseball to talk to about pitching. So I love going in the locker room and having conversations with him about that, because he's so accessible. He's so intelligent. He's so friendly and genuine. And he will just, you know, if you show any sort of like this much knowledge about pitching or pitching mechanics or something that he's doing, he will just like open up the floodgates of like, well, here's what I know about my pitching mechanics and here's what I'm doing with this. And he's just a joy. He's just an absolute joy to have to, you know, from the baseball side of it, from like the actual writer with access kind of side.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Through and through. Well, like you talk about, I mean, I know you have experience with this too, being in a locker room with major league players, a lot of people don't want to talk. Kyle Hendricks, like Ryan said, just an inkling of an idea of, you know, the type of grip he's holding on his changeup, he's going to tell you everything you want to know about that. And it's great, because that's exactly what you want from a guy who is looking at the game in some ways the same perspective as someone like you and I are. So it's great to be able to have that conversation with him, because I'm sure if he tried to have the same conversation with someone like Kyle Schwarber, as nice as the guy he is, he's just trying to get out of the locker room. He's going to go take swings. He's going to go see his wife. He doesn't want to talk baseball with you after the game's over, but Kyle will sit there forever.
Yeah. Hendricks will sit there and talk to you about stuff, you know, just forever, like you said. And guys like Schwarber, Ian Happ, they're a little, I don't know if you want to say introverted. I guess Happ is definitely a little more introverted. You know, some of those guys, I don't blame them necessarily. They just they don't want to stand there and talk to the media about that kind of stuff, especially, you know, not in like the media scrum, like the one-on-one situation. They don't really, you know, love having those conversations with people they don't know so well. So, you know, it is what it is. But what do you guys think about Kyle Hendricks going into 2019? Are you excited about him? Is he one of your favorite pitchers to watch, like for me and Sean? Let us know in the comments down below. If you're enjoying our player previews, go check them out. We've done a few already. Guys like Anthony Rizzo and Jose Quintana, several other guys. Go check all those out. We have them on our channel. And make sure to go down and click that subscribe button if you're enjoying this. Seeing the subscribers start to pile up really motivates us to keep this stuff going. And we're having fun with it, so we hope you're enjoying it too. Thanks for watching, guys. We will talk to you again next time.